Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro, along with my guest, my special guest. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How can God use an immigrant and a career army man to be a voice to reach those bound and hopeless? According to recent statistics, Hawaii's prison population is over 5,500, of which 1,300 or more are housed in a private facility in Arizona. And sadly, more than 50% of those released from prison will return over time. Today's guest, Carlos Munguia, will tell us his story of salvation, redemption, and service, and his passion to serve those caught in this cycle of bondage. We pause to remind you of the reason that we have this show, the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to Jesus Christ, because there is always hope in Jesus Christ, no matter what you are going through. He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He shed his blood on the cross. He was buried and raised on the third day. And today, he is calling you. Carlos Munguia was born in Mexicali, Mexico, and immigrated to America with his family when he was just a child. He served most of his career in the United States Army. He is married to his beautiful bride, Lucy, for 42 years and is the proud father of two children, Carlos Elin and Emmanuel. Carlos, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Thanks for being here. We have an hour to share a powerful testimony, your testimony, because God has been so faithful to you. And Amen. Through you, he has touched so many. And we want to hear about that, because the testimony will save. So, Carlos, let's start where you started. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mexico, in my hometown of Mexicali. Up until I became 13 years old, I entered into the United States of America with my mother and enrolled into high school.
Okay. And you say with your mother.
Yes.
Who was it who influenced you the most as you were growing up?
As growing up, I believe immediately when I entered into the United States, it was my mom who was trying to teach me that I needed to take an opportunity here in this country. I resisted a lot of that because I didn't want to leave Mexico.
That's a challenge, right? I mean, you're in a place that you're used to, where you're surrounded by people you are comfortable in.
Yes.
And you're a teenager.
Correct.
Right? And yet, you know you need to be obedient to your parents.
Yes.
So tell us about that. Tell us about that challenge and that time.
I guess the most difficult part, it was just adapting to the new culture that I was coming into. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to leave my culture, my plans that I have to go to the university in Guadalajara. You know, and at least that was my dream. Mm-hmm. But coming to America, I have no idea what's going to happen in the future. So I'm the oldest in the family. I became most of a care helper for my mother as a single parent. And I grew up in El Centro, California, where we moved into, and went to college, went to high school there. My fear, again, was my higher education or seeking my education. So when I finished high school, I wanted to continue my education, and I didn't know how to do it in America. That became a challenge. And behold, a recruiter came by the high school saying that the Army will pay my college. So bingo, so here's my way. So I enrolled and enlisted into the United States Army.
I see. So that is, you know, such an avenue, right? You're actually born and raised in another country.
Yes.
And then you are, you're called to actually serve this country, America. Yes. And defend this country, America. And that must have been both a challenge and kind of an adventure for you. Who influenced you during that time?
I think the biggest influence that I got that during that time in the military was Rafael Juarez. It was a gentleman that I pursued to talk to him in one of my downtime in the, while I was in Germany. I was in the army station in Germany, and my unit, I was the only Hispanic that spoke Spanish in my unit, and I'm more like my family is something that means a lot to me. Being alone without my wife in Germany caused a nostalgic feeling in me to say that I'm alone. I'm nobody here, even though I'm surrounded by people, but I'm nobody I can connect with. So I seen this Rafael walking up and down the streets with a guitar once in a while, you know, either going out or coming in. And my drove me back to my family time that if he has a guitar, he plays Spanish music or Mexican music.
Right.
And we can drink and get happy and sing and just have a little party on our own so I can connect back to my roots. So one day I saw him at the bus stop. And I approached him. I said, hey, do you play Mexican music? He said, no, I'd rather play praises to God. Immediately my mind says, okay, get away from this guy. Don't deal with him. And I tried to walk away. He stopped me and says, what is your name? And I said, oh, don't worry about it. I don't want to talk to you no more. And he says, why not? I said, I just want to know your name. I said, well, my name is Carlos. And I kept walking. A week after that, he started talking to me, seeking me, and looking for me at the dining facility where we eat our meals. And he used to come and visit me, sit at my table, and start talking to me and start talking about God. That started a friendship that I did not was looking for. But he started sharing the gospel, sharing the word of God, sharing his friendship and his loyalty. He showed love that I did not know about. And his desire for me to know God propelled him to continue the friendship and the fellowship with me. To the point that he took me out to Bible studies, shared the gospel with me various times, always trying to be helpful to me, to understand what's going on and the struggles that I was facing, and that there was always a way out, that God loved me, and that I was not alone.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that that God has placed people in all of our lives that pursue us? Right, they go after that lost sheep because the Lord promises to go
that's
find
what's
that lost
Rafael.
Sheep.
Yeah. And that's the influence that I got from him.
So great.
That impacted my life forever.
Yeah. And so tell us, how did you finally give your life to the Lord?
Funny. My desires was that I thought I was a good guy. You know, in quotes. Because I'm a Roman Catholic, raised Roman Catholic, and went to church twice a year.
But, we call it Christers.
Right. But when he started sharing with me the love of God and the gospel and then showing his love for me, I started feeling uncomfortable. But at the same token, I had a void in my soul, in my heart, like something was missing. And I didn't know what to do with it. And to the point that I had to live my life the way I live, the way I know how to live my life. One day he was coming. He came to my place. He used to come to my room and call me out and let's go do this, let's go do that. And it was one Friday night. He came and said, Carlos, I want to speak with you. Let's go out and have dinner and have some good time together. Listen, I need to get rid of him. In my mind, I'm thinking, I need to get rid of him because I'm going out partying tonight. I'm going to be drinking. I already started drinking. I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to be doing drugs and being with friends, so-called. So when I saw him coming, I said, oh, my goodness, here comes Rafael. You know he wants to spend time with me. I said, well, how do I get rid of him? Because I already had made plans for me to go out and party. Mm-hmm. And he said, he approached, knocked on the door, and I opened and says, what do you want? He said, I want to spend time with you. I said, not tonight. You and I are not going to be together. He said, I'm going to go out with my friends, and I'm going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And he said, why can't I have time with you? And I says, I'm going to tell you what. I said, if you really want to come with me, you need to come with me to the bar. Mm. And we're going to drink.
Oh.
Thinking that he's going to say no. He looked in my eyes and says, yes, I'm going. I said, oh, no. So long story short, we ended up in the bar. Mm. I started to buy him a drink. He said, I don't drink. Just give me a Coke. He said, no, you're going to drink with me. I forced him to drink a beer with me. Because Christians don't drink, right?
Right. Let me just pause because we're going to have to take a quick break.
Okay.
But isn't that amazing that he would go to the extent of being in a place that is not comfortable for him?
That's what.
And we're going to talk about that experience.
That's what I was going to try to share.
When we return, when we come back, we're going to continue this story of the pursuit of Carlos.
Yes.
To bring him to Jesus Christ because he had a plan and a purpose to change the world through this one man. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling.
You're
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back. This is Lani Ka'a'a sitting in for Danny Yamashiro today. We have a guest that is an amazing story of God's pursuit, Carlos Munguia. We continue with Carlos in a second, but I just wanted to talk about if you'd like to hear this entire program from beginning to end, you are able to get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You may listen to it there. You can download it there. You can share this message with others. It is a story of God's pursuit of each and every one of us. When we left off at the last in the last segment, we were talking about Carlos meeting Jesus and accepting him. And it was a pretty epic moment where your dear friend who influenced you joined you. So can you talk about that again?
Yes, like I was saying, you know, he came to visit with me and tried to spend more time with me to share the gospel for that purpose. Mm-hmm. But I had so much of it that I said, I just want to be me. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, said, if you want to spend time with me, you need to come where I'm going. And we need to go to the club. So expecting that for him not to say no, he said yes. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, man. I'm stuck with him. So he came on to the bar, and we went to the bar and started drinking. I bought him a drink, and he says, I need you to drink this, and I'll drink my drinks. He kissed the bottle a couple of times while I was sitting there, but because he was there, and where the nostalgic feelings that I had and that emptiness that I had and that vacuum in my soul, I longed for something. I didn't know what I was longing for. But he inspired upon me some confidence because he was there. Mm-hmm. And he came to my level. Mm-hmm. I started sharing with him my life's history. So much so that I didn't do nothing but talk with him all night long. Mm-hmm. And I got so drunk that he took me back to my room and left me. A week later, I was reflecting on what he has done, what we have done, what I did, what I shared with him, and said, why did I talk to him? And I couldn't come up with answers. However, during that same time I was preparing to go out, a week later, Friday, God started shaking in my heart, shaking my heart, awakening with his word. Mm-hmm. You know, and the things that Raphael shared with me about Scripture, about Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not because of works. 1 Peter 3:18, where he says that he died for our sins once and for all. The righteous died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. And I felt that I needed that. I needed that gift. And in John 5:24, it says that, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. We will not be judged, but already passed from death unto life. Raphael explained all of this to me. And all of a sudden, all of this became sense in my mind, in my heart, and faith was built upon my heart. Going back to John, Romans 10:17, it says, by faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Mm. So faith was given to me that night. And instead of me going out and partying, I stayed in my room. And I reflected, thinking of my life, my past, where I've been, where I'm going. And I think the hardest part was that I felt lonely. Mm-hmm. And I felt as one who was not able to do what he set out to do, to be a good father. Growing as a single parent, my dad left me when I was 6 years old. And here I am on my 20s, late 20s, leaving my son and my wife apart because we were separated by that time because we couldn't get along. But God got a hold of me and changed my life. Mm-hmm. And that night, that evening, that night, I came to realize that I needed Jesus. And in John 1, 12, to those who believe, to those who receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And I gave my heart to God. I asked for it. That was in June of 1981.
Wow. That's
when I accepted the Lord.
Yeah.
Thanks to Raphael, who was a conduit of God's grace and love for me.
Okay, I have to know, did you go and tell him?
Next morning, Saturday morning, I woke up, it was 5-something in the morning. I went over to his billets, and I knocked on his door, and I heard behind the door, and stumbling, waking up, and I says, who is it? I said, it's me, Carlos. He rushes to the door, opens the door, and says, are you okay? What happened? You all right? I said, I'm fine. I said, I just came to tell you that I accepted the Lord last night. And he looked at me. He jumped and leaped, almost like I felt like he leaped on me and says, thank God. And he embraced me and cried. We both cried.
Awesome. Yeah. It's so good that you went back and let him know, and he saw the fruit of his planting and his watering and his watering. And it's so good that you did. You mentioned that you were separated.
Yes, at this
and,
time.
And that you had a wife, but she was not with you. And
right.
You had kids.
And a son.
At that point. Or you had one son at that point.
My oldest, yes.
Yeah. So what was happening in your marriage during this time?
Well, after I joined the service, he and I left hometown, mm-hmm. El Centro. And we ended up in Tacoma, Washington, away from home, both of us, for the first time away from everything. I mean, everything is new to us, wherever mm-hmm. we are. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't cope. We're non-believers. We were raised in our own families, in our own ways, in our own mm-hmm. lifestyles mm-hmm. in Mexico. But I was trying to make a living, trying to make a career, trying to learn my ways through the military. Mm-hmm. Which is all new to me. And for her, it was away from home. Mm-hmm. So we had a little misunderstanding. Well, we had a lot of misunderstandings.
And you were young.
And we were young, and we were nobody to mentor us or help right. us out. So right. in the military, things turned south, and she alone by herself at home with it, pregnant, and then having a baby by herself. It was a toll that we couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. And we both opted to separate. Mm. She returned to California to her sister in Santa Monica, California. Mm. And I stayed in Washington State. Mm.
And then in these times alone, God pursues you through your good friend. And you meet the Lord and you accept the Lord. But what's happening with your wife? How did she respond? Did you tell her?
Well, it's funny because we were in the I was in the process of filing for divorce, mm. and that's what cost me my downfall, wow. or my pitfall, mm. where I thought that I'm going to live without my son and be a failure just like my dad was. However, after I received Christ, a couple of months later, Raphael invited me to come to a Christian conference in Switzerland mm-hmm. with the Navigators Ministry. And through there, I learned a lot about the calling of God for me to be a witness, which I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. So that challenged my heart.
Yeah.
But during that week, Raphael called me out to the side and said, Carlos, God wants you and your wife to get back together again. Mm-hmm. And I said, you don't know my wife. You don't know what you're asking. And he said, God wants you two together. Mm-hmm. When we get back, we're going to work on this. When we get back to our billets, mm-hmm. to our post mm-hmm. wow. in Germany.
Wow. Wow.
A couple of days later, we were back. He came and told me, says, write a letter to your wife. And he begged me, and he forced me to write a letter to my wife. And I wrote the letter. She never responded. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, he says, write another letter. He says, you're not going to respond, I'm telling you. I said, write another letter. So he said, this time tell her that you're going to call this Saturday at this time in her sister's house. Mm. So I did. I did what he told me. He said, when I call, she's not going to be there, so you're going to hear it. Well, Saturday came, the time for us to talk on the phone. And Rafael was excited. He said, "Came and got me. We gotta go downtown to the the post office to get the telephone so we can call international." Mm. I said, "Let's go. Here's the proof of the pudding." Well, when I called and dialed the phone, to my surprise, my wife answered the phone.
Wow!
I said, "Hi." He says, "What do you want?" I said, "Look," I said, "and." Just something just remind me of when we were dating in high school. She used to go to, we used to go to the Catholic services or the mass. Mm-hmm. And we used to go, she used to, if I got to go, you got to come with me. Mm-hmm. When we were dating. So yes, I went over and it exposed me to God and the Catholic mm-hmm. religion mm-hmm. a little bit more than what I was. However, when that day that I talked to her, my words came out of my mouth and says, "Remember the God that you made me go to see? Your God who sits in the cross, you know, who's in the cross in the church?" And she says, "Yeah, what that got to do with us?" I said, "Well, I want you to trust him, not me. I'm asking you to give me another opportunity. I've changed. God changed me. I'm different. I have a different values. And I would love for you to come and join me again, become one family." Wow.
Wow. That is amazing. That is, you know, just as a wife and one who's gone through struggle, getting that kind of phone call, you know, you in the beginning, you pray for that. You want to hear those words as a wife. But then over time, you start to wonder if they'll ever come.
So 2 years plus.
Yeah, yeah. So the question is, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more because I want to hear about her response. Because sure. I know the end story and it's a good one.
Yes, it is.
But I do want to hear what her response is because I believe God had his hand in a lot at that moment.
Amen.
And we need to hear how God orchestrated this magnificent reunion.
Amen.
Stay with us. It's going to be good.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Amashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling.
You're listening.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro. He is a great mentor of mine, and I'm privileged to sit in this seat today to be doing the Good Life Show with you, our listeners. We have in studio today Carlos Munguia, an amazing story of a man pursued by God, and redeemed and saved. And when we left off in the last segment, we were talking about his salvation and how amazing that was, but then returning to the marriage that had not been going well with his wife Lucy. And so Carlos got the courage to call her, sure that she was not going to respond, sure that the Lucy that he knew was going to be the Lucy that he went back to. But God had other plans. And so we're going to pick up there. You made that phone call, and she picked up the phone.
Yes, and to my surprise, she answered the phone. And as I stated in the last segment, you know, I asked her, the words came out of my mouth, says, look, the God that you made me go to see in a church and mass, trust him, don't trust me. And then that took the opportunity for me to say, I would like you to come and join me again and become a family the way we're supposed to be, especially considering my oldest son who was with her. Needless to say, she says, no, I'm not going. I know who you are, and I don't trust you. And, you know, the things that come with relationship that's in the world. Mm-hmm. But got to grab a hold of her heart. And she says, the only way I go, after we talked a little, she break down and says, if you come and get me. I'm in Germany. She's in Los Angeles. So I says, okay, I'm coming.
So she says, if you'll come and meet me and you'll sacrifice to come, I will return with you.
That's exactly what she's trying to tell me.
Okay.
So 7 days later, I find myself on the plane, thanks to Raphael and the men from my Bible study, my single men's guys, because they pray for me, they pray for my wife, and they bought me my round trip ticket.
Wow.
And I was able to request through the military for family move to Germany with me, had housing to move into. Everything fell into place within 5 days.
Wow.
On the seventh day, I was in the flight to Los Angeles from Frankfurt, Germany. And I'm now coming to realization, what am I doing? What's happening? I mean, you know, the what ifs.
Right.
What if she says no? What if she decides to not? What if she says she's got somebody else? Mm-hmm. You know, is she going to return with me? Well, a lot of doubts, a lot of prayers. Mm-hmm. And I know Raphael and the guys from that small group, they were praying for me. When I arrived, when I first saw her, she was in front of her mom's house, watering the grass with a gown, a home gown. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came to my mind is that, oh, she's pregnant.
Wow.
You know. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came out of my mouth to her is, are you pregnant? She laughed and she says, no. I said, when did you get here? And that started the conversation. Mm. I was there for 2 weeks in California.
Wow.
The first week I shared the gospel with her every day. Because she's a family of 14. We didn't have no time alone. Mm-hmm. She stayed with her mom. I stayed with my mom. We live in the same hometown. By the end of the week, I finally had the courage to say, why don't we go to my mom's house? There's nobody there. Mom's at work, so we can talk. And I wanted to share the gospel with her. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, I know what you want. I said, no, no, I want to talk. We want. I need some time with you. She says, yeah, right. She says, I'll go. I'm going to listen to you. So I did. We did. We went to my mom's house. And during the time that we was there, she was laying stomach down on the sofa. And I was at the end of the sofa, and I was sharing with her. I opened my Bible to start sharing the gospel with her. And later on, I found out she was thinking, says, oh, no, here he comes again with his stupid Bible. Mm. All he does is talks about God, and I don't want to listen to it. Mm. And later on, as I was sharing with her, she told me later that she felt like frustrated, angry with me, and there was five voices in her mind. Her mom says, Lucy, I never taught you to be like that. You need to be right before God. Her voice is saying, I want to do what I want to do. There's the devil voice telling her and says, don't listen to him. He's lying. You lose all your fun. You will not be able to party. There was a softly voice talking to her saying, trust me. Believe what he says. Believe in God. And herself just screaming, my voice talking to her about the word of God. And all she wanted to do was scratch me, kick me, throw me away, push me away. But she couldn't move. And when that time that I don't know what was going on, but I saw it. And something, the Holy Spirit just said, just pray for her. So I started praying, and I put my hand on her back. As she was laying on the sofa, and I prayed, said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let her be set free here and receive your word. And she sprang to me when she felt later on. I felt like your hand was burning my back. It was uncomfortable, and I hated you even more. I wanted to just jump out of the bed, out of the sofa, and scratch you and kick you and bite you and do whatever I can. Well, thank God she didn't do it. But it was persistent, so I put my other hand and I pray. And all of a sudden she said, as she explained later, something out of her body's list is left. And she was able to hear the word of God. It made sense. And in her mind, in her heart, she felt, or she saw all of her life just roll by, just like in a movie. Says, I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I believe that you are there and you're calling me. Mm-hmm. And she accepted the Lord Jesus that night.
Isn't that amazing? You know, you became her Raphael.
Exactly.
You immediately turned and became the Raphael to the next sheep that God was pursuing.
Yes.
And it happened to be your wife. Isn't that amazing?
Thanks.
So good.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. So she returns with you and praise God, your marriage has become better. No marriage is perfect, but you're in it with God.
We are. Yeah. We are, definitely we are. It's like a second honeymoon with God. Yeah. And it's been great.
And I'm sure the differences haven't all gone away.
Oh, no. We still got differences.
The character flaws are still evident.
Still evident.
But, as they are in my marriage.
But what we learned is that we need to embrace the differences.
Yeah.
Because God put us together for each other.
Yeah.
And we learned that because we became counselors for premarital class.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he took you really to that next level.
Really?
Let's display it out for all to see so that they might learn and they might become one as you have become one. So very good. I know that you have now been called into ministry work. You've come back. You've moved to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And God called you into ministry work here. And you have really been doing the same thing. Raphael did with you. And I want to hear about how God called you into what you now do in New Hope Oahu's prison ministry. Can you share that?
Definitely. We came here to Hawaii in 2005, in January, and I started going to the Calvary Chapel, West Oahu. Mm-hmm. It was there that I met this gentleman named Flaviano, mm-hmm. De La Rosa Flaviano, and he's has worked. He was an ex-convict, but he's going into prison sharing the gospel. He's an evangelist sharing the gospel, converting people to Christ. Mm. And he invited me to come up, to come in and share. And this happened in 2007, 2008. And God just revealed to me, and says, these people need the truth. They need the gospel. And they need someone who is able to show commitment. And I says, I think I can do that, Lord. Set me up. So I started going with him, and he left me alone. I was doing my own ministry. And two, three years later, I finally transferred over to New Hope. So by 2011, I was with New Hope. I started New Hope Ministry in the prison with, back then it was Pastor Louis Healing. He accepted me, adopted me, and allowed me to do the ministry with him. And 2 or 3 years later, he left to go to Vegas and said, Carlos, you need to take over the prison. Well, he didn't say that. He was praying for me to take over the prison ministry. And I kept telling him, no, I don't have time. It's hard for me to make time for my wife and myself. I don't want to commit to something I'm not sure I can do. Well, God had a different plan.
You know, it's so good to hear your faithfulness and your obedience. And in that season that you were in your wilderness, he was grooming you all along. He was grooming you all along. And Raphael was that mentor that modeled for you.
Yes.
The love of Christ and what you would need to be equipped with, not by schooling, not by Bible teaching, but by his testimony and his walk and his example.
And the love of God.
And the love of God. When we come back, we're going to hear more about the prison ministry. I want you to talk to our listeners about what it is and all of the great things God is doing. Stay with us. We're going to hear more about what's happening in Hawaii's prisons through this ministry.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me call.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here, sitting in for Danny Yamashiro. We're here today with a very special guest with a great message and a great testimony, Carlos Munguia. He's an immigrant, a career army man, but used by God to reach out to Hawaii's prison population, something we so need. Carlos is the director currently of the New Hope Oahu Prison Ministry, and God is using him to reach incarcerated men and women in the state and federal correctional facilities. The ministry has a volunteer staff of over 23 people that reach men and women in prisons and even out of prisons when they have been released. He reaches approximately 230 inmates every single week. That is commitment. How do you see God working in the lives of the incarcerated in the prisons and even in those released?
How do I see it? Mm-hmm. I got to take and put God's lenses on, mm-hmm. because in my perspective, it'd be hard for me to reach out to them because I've never been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they feel, don't see what they see or live what they lived. But God has shown me that this man, this woman, they want to see, you care? Show me that you care. Mm. Don't tell me. Show me by your life, by your ways, that you care. So I have done my effort to demonstrate that I care, because I think I was shown care by Raphael. Mm. He was committed to me. The last sheep, like you mentioned earlier, that was lost. And he came in St. Raphael to find me and bring me into the fold. Yeah. And I see them in the same manner. There are many there. You heard, you mentioned the population. Yeah. Plenty of people, they are desperate to hear the word of God. Mm. And when Flaviano brought me into the prison, I saw the need, the thirst, and the hunger. Not all, but some. Mm. And I said, God, how do we reach them? Well, long story short, when I started working with Louis, he decided to go to Vegas. I said, okay, what am I going to do now? Mm. And one thing I was struggling with is I don't want to leave my wife alone because of ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, because it consumes a lot of time. Well, when Louis decided to go to Vegas, 2 months just before his departure, he was asking me again, do I want the position? And I mentioned to my wife that we were praying about it. And my wife said to me, Carlos, you are designated to take over the position. I don't want you to, but God told me that you are the man. At that time, I said, if that's the case, when next time they ask me, I'll say yes. The next day they asked me.
Of course.
They didn't know about it, but they asked me, and my wife was there with me, and she said, yes, we are committed. God gave me, I think, the heart that Raphael had for me, or the vision that he had for me, that I could be a good testimony, mm-hmm. a good example for others to follow, just like Raphael was for me. Mm-hmm. He taught me how to memorize verses, how to do quiet time, how to do Bible reading, Bible studying, prayer, and small groups. Yeah. And the same basic foundations, our ministry and prison ministry in New Hope, has targeted that functions or that principles. Three things that plug us in into the Word of God. Prayer, daily time with God and His Word, an accountability group. Mm. If we plug those three things into our lives and teach them how to do it, they will be able to be a witness for God. Mm-hmm. But in order for us to do that, we had to commit ourselves to the ministry, to go inside the prison and outside the prisons when they come out, to be with them. Commit in such a manner that they know that we're there, whether they're not or whether they don't come, we're going to be there. And that's my standard that I put for myself. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be there. Yeah. No ifs or buts about it. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to be there. Yeah. Even when I feel that I shouldn't be there, like Raphael in the club,
yeah,
I will be there for the glory of God.
So good. You know, when you talk about this, and you made a comment that you can't relate because you've never been in prison, but you have. Because
I've been a prisoner.
Maybe not a physical prison, but we've all been in prison.
Of sin.
In sin.
Amen.
And away from God and bound. And that commitment you have to them is not to get them out of the physical prison, because that may never happen for them, right?
May not.
May not. But you free them in a way that's much greater, much more important to their eternal life.
Yes.
And their purposes can be served, even if they're in the physical prison, because of what you are doing.
And I can share stories about that already.
I'd love to hear one. Go.
Well, you know, there's this, there's been two or three guys who have been in prison, or that I work with them in prison, that I constantly see them on a weekly basis. Mm. But I've seen their walk with God, the commitment to God inside the prison, that they started to share the gospel within themselves, within the groups, within the modules or this. Where they are housed. And I have heard so many good reports about that, because God is using them inside the prison to set free those who are incarcerated. And I've seen it with the men in Jalapa, Guayaba, OCCC, and the federal.
Awesome.
And thank God, I'm not the one that runs or reaches 200 and some people weekly. It's us and the volunteers, my volunteers, that we come together, committed to go in, to preach the gospel, and to be a testimony for them.
We are sadly almost out of time. And I truly mean that, sadly, because I know there are so many stories that could change lives. And yet, I want to make sure before we finish that we spend some time in prayer.
Definitely.
And you have talked about commitment, and you have talked about being called to be a witness and a committed witness. And I know on the break we talked about, hey, we can witness once, and if it goes well, haha, great. And if it doesn't go well, we may walk away from that call.
Yes.
But would you pray for those that are called to be witnesses, which is every single one of us?
Yes.
To be committed in wherever we're at with whoever God's calling us to. Would you pray?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, you have created all things, and all things were created for you, by you, and for you. You created us for your glory. You created the world for us to be in. And yet, Lord, the whole universe is in your hands. But you have such an intimate desire for each and every one of us. You know the number of hairs on our head. You care for us so much, Lord, that you want us to be in your family, in your fold. And I thank you for your son, Jesus, that through him and with him we have received salvation, eternal life, because he died for our sins, cleansed away our sins. But more than that, Father, you also call us to be your witness, to be a testimony for others, with the commission of going and teach others the gospel. Father, I pray for those who do teach the gospel, those who are evangelizing and those who are teaching. I pray that their commitment to you be true, whole heart committed, that they will not look at things for themselves or to be able to do the things on their own, but they will depend and trust totally in you, that you will make a way for them to be able to share and be a conduit of your grace and mercy to all that they speak with. And to those who sit on the sidelines, Lord, who are trying to figure out what should I do, I pray for them too, Lord God. I can only think of what Moses says. Don't pick me. Pick somebody else who can speak. Father, you chose us, mm-hmm. and you want us to speak. That you will give us the word to share, to say, to be able to demonstrate and to explain the true gospel of our Lord Jesus and the salvation that we have in him. Mm-hmm. Father, may we, those who sit on the sidelines, commit to do so, mm-hmm. depending on you. Because your word says, blessed is the man who trusts in God mm-hmm. and whose confidence is in him. Mm-hmm. Because we know that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you're always with us. And you're the one that gives us the words to speak. We don't want to depend on the flesh. We want to depend totally on you. So I pray, Father, that those who are undecided or those who are thinking about it, they will take one step of faith, mm-hmm. demonstrate their commitment to you mm-hmm. and the confidence that they have for you. And furthermore, be committed mm-hmm. to be a testimony and a witness for you for the rest of their lives. Because greater is he who is in us than those who are in the world. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your testimony. What a powerful one it was today. I appreciate it. Your honesty, your authenticity. Inspiring words from Carlos Munguia. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, haven't accepted Jesus Christ yourself, please, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Visit us for more information at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. To help us with your financial support, make a donation so that our program can continue to tell the testimonies of God's people. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and click on Partners. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Carlos Munguia. Until next time, along with our guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Antai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a, here for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.